David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm glad to be here, and I hope that you're glad to be here as well. Whether we be many or whether we be few, we trust that God is in our midst. And as one place God said through Moses, be still and see salvation of the Lord. I believe what God was telling Moses, that you be still and give God time to work in your life. And I believe that the message then, as today, is relevant to each of us that are here today. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, Jesus was a master teacher. Jesus always spoke in language that people could understand. He never spoke in an unknown tongue. He spoke and communicated with his people in language that they could well understand. We read that Jesus, after his baptism, and after the selection of his apostles, and for 1 year he preached around the area of Galilee. Now the Bible tells us that he went throughout Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now if you're a Bible student and a history student, you remember that in the area of Galilee, there were over 400 communities or villages. And the Bible tells us that Jesus went out preaching the gospel in the area of Galilee. And as he preached the gospel, great numbers of people came out to hear him preach. And he preached in language that all could well understand. Now in Matthew chapter 13, we read where Jesus is speaking in parables. Now a parable is an illustration or a story that has a spiritual meaning. In other words, it was something that the people could well understand, the illustration that was being made. Now in Matthew 13, there is a whole catalog of parables. But now in Mark, the 4th chapter, there are 3 parables. Now 2 of these parables are also found in Matthew chapter 13. With the exception of one, there are 3 parables in Mark, the 4th chapter. One parable is the seed of the sower. Now you're all familiar with that story about the man that went out to sow seed. He said the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that goes out and sows seed. And he tells of what his result will be. Then he also tells about the parable of the mustard seed. We're all familiar with that in Mark chapter 4. But there is another one in Mark chapter 4 that is not recorded by Matthew or Luke or John. This parable is known as the evolution of the gospel of Christ. Now what Jesus is saying in Mark chapter 4, he said the gospel of the kingdom in which he had gone out into the area of Galilee. Now if you're familiar with Galilee, you remember, and the Sea of Galilee, you remember that Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, had its origin way up in Mount Hermon. It ran down and became a sea known as the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus and his apostles came from the area of Galilee. Now in Mark the 4th chapter, the Bible tells us that Jesus is preaching on the seashore of the Sea of Galilee. So many had compassed about him, so much so that he was unable to preach. I'm going to have to take this off of me. He was unable to preach standing on the shore of the sea. So what he did, he got into a ship. He got into a ship and he went and pushed out from the shore a short distance. And he began to teach. And he tells us now in Mark chapter 4. And he said, Watch it in verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, I believe that all of us that are here today can understand the field of agriculture. Jesus is saying here that the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom is like unto a man that sows seed. So Jesus is down here by the Sea of Galilee, and as he begins to teach, he said the kingdom of God, now that is the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. The gospel, he said, is like a man should cast good seed into the ground. Now, first of all, Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom of God is like unto seed that is sown in the ground. Now, I can understand that. I can understand that being a gardener and being brought up in the country, that what we did, we first recognized the need for a garden. And we'd go out in the spring of the year and we would plant the corn. We would plant the corn in the earth. And after a while, we would go out and the corn would begin to spring up. It would begin to spring up. Notice what Jesus said. And it seed cast in the ground, and it should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth forth the sickle, because the harvest is past. Now here we find that Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God existed first in purpose. The kingdom of God existed second in promise. And the kingdom of God existed as it became full grown. That's what Jesus is preaching. When John the Baptist went out preaching, he went out preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus in Matthew 10 called his apostles together in number, and he sent them forth in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. We sometimes speak of this commission as being a limited commission. He not only tells them what to do, but he tells them what they are to preach as well, where they are to go and where they are not to go. So we sometimes speak of Matthew chapter 10 as being a limited commission. He calls his apostles together and he said, I want you to go preach the gospel of the kingdom. Go not by the way of Samaria, and the cities of Gentiles enter ye not, but go ye rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now the reason we speak of this as a limited commission is because it is limited unto one nation of people. He said, as you go forth to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I want you to preach the gospel of the kingdom of Almighty God. I want you to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So here Jesus is sending these apostles forth on the limited commission, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now we might raise the question, what is the gospel that Christ wants preached? What is the gospel that Christ wants preached? Well, it is something that the Lord tells us that the gospel is to be preached unto every person. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, after the crucifixion of Christ and his burial and resurrection, he met his apostles in Galilee. After his resurrection, having met his apostles in Galilee as a group, he gave unto them now what is known as a great commission. Now, first of all, as I mentioned, in Matthew 10, it is a limited commission. But in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, and in Matthew chapter 18, we have another commission. Now this commission is called the Great Commission. because the Bible tells us that Jesus said, go preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So here we find that what the gospel of the kingdom consists of, it consists of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, as we mentioned this morning, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a book. It's not about a book. Though we sometimes speak of the first four gospels. Well, there is but one gospel. There are four writers defining the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. But four writers telling us about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are the message in which Christ brought unto the world. So we find here that Jesus, having met his apostles, after having preached the gospel of the kingdom, having been crucified on the cross, was resurrected, and now he is given a worldwide commission. He said, I want you to go preach the gospel unto every creature. But not only does he tell them that he wants them to go preach the gospel unto every creature, he also tells them in Luke chapter 24 as to where they are to begin preaching this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, go into Jerusalem and tarry ye there. So you see here, Jesus gives a great commission of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells them what to do. He tells them when they are to do it and where they are to do it. He said, go into all the world, but he said, I want you to begin your mission in the city of Jerusalem. So here we find that the gospel is something that God wants every person to believe. Not only does he want every person to believe, and if you don't believe it, he tells us we are condemned. The Bible tells us also that the Apostle Paul, in writing unto the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, he said, woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. Here we know that Paul said, a denunciation of God rest upon me if I do not proclaim the message of the gospel of the kingdom of Almighty God. Thirdly, we find that Paul, in writing unto the Thessalonians, he said unto them, to you that are troubled, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those that know not God and that obey not the gospel. Obey not what the gospel? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which Jesus said, go preach unto every creature. And Paul said, woe be unto me if I don't preach that gospel, if I don't preach that message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, he said, the punishment of God awaits the person that would reject the message of the gospel of the Son of God. Now you raise the question. You say, well, I believe that. I believe that's what the Bible teaches, that we are to believe it, that we are to be punished if we don't believe it, and that a denunciation from God rests upon any preacher that will not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what does the gospel consist of? What does the gospel consist of? Three things. The gospel consists of three things. Number one, it consists of facts. It consists of facts. Well, what is the fact of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The fact of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, he writes, the fact of the gospel is that Jesus died according to the Scripture. Now, the Bible doesn't just say that Christ died according to the Scripture, but the Bible also says that he was buried and raised according to the Scripture. So the facts of the gospel must be believed. The gospel consists of three things. It consists of facts that must be believed. You and I cannot be saved if we do not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible says that Jesus was proven to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. God would not have raised an impostor, but Christ, as He went forth in the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, He declared Himself to be the Son of Man. Others declared Him to be the Son of God. 27 times in the New Testament, He is declared to be the Son of God. 82 times in the New Testament, He is declared to be the Son of Man. So Jesus was both the Son of God and the Son of Man. He lived and walked among men, and died and was buried and was resurrected the third day according unto the Scripture. Now I, in order to be saved, I must believe in the fact of the gospel of the Son of God. The gospel not only consists of facts, it consists of commands. It consists of commands. This is the command of Christ that we have, faith in Him. That's what the Apostle John writes. The Apostle John writes 878 verses in the book of the Gospel according to John. 878 verses in John. 21 chapters in the book of John, descriptive to the life of Christ. And the Apostle John over and over and over emphasizes again that God has saved, will save us through Christ if we're willing to listen to what Christ has to say. Christ gave commands, as I mentioned earlier, about the Great Commission. Jesus says, go preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth, now that is a command. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The conclusion is that one that has not been baptized is not saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is a command of God. And Paul, as he wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, if we do not obey the gospel or the command of the gospel, we'll be punished. But then the gospel consists also of promises. Promises. But we're not going to receive the promises unless we're willing to obey the commands. Notice that Jesus, He said, go preach the gospel. Go preach the gospel unto every creature. And then, as a result of believing the gospel and being baptized, you will receive the forgiveness of sin. God has never promised us forgiveness of sin by faith only. Now, sometimes people leave the impression that all that I need to do in order to have the forgiveness of sin is just have some degree of faith in Christ. The Apostle Paul, in writing unto Galatians chapter 1, he said, you have been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom there is forgiveness, even the forgiveness of sin. The apostle is writing unto those that make up the church in Colossae. He said, at one time you were living and walking in darkness, but now you have been moved from one position unto another position. He calls that being translated or delivered from one position to another position. He said at one time you were in darkness, that is, you were living and walking in sin. But now you have become a Christian, and in becoming a Christian, you have been delivered from sin into a justification through the blood of Christ. You have been delivered from sin through the death of Christ. But in this, we are in obedience unto the commands of Christ. Now again, let me mention this. Jesus, for 3 years, preached the gospel of the kingdom. He went about, The apostles went forth preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Acts chapter 2 now, the seed has been planted. Jesus said, just like corn in the ground, you plant the corn and you sleep, go about your natural activities of the day. You rise night and day, and you go out one day, and there is a projection of a green substance known as a leaf or a blade. Then you go out the next day, and you'll have another blade or a leaf. And then you wait a while, and it comes up, and it begins to grow, and it won't be long till it'll be a full ear of corn. And then he said, you can go out and take your sickle, or you can take the harvest. Now he said, that's the way the kingdom of God came into being. He said, it started back a long time ago in promise. It was promised way back in the days of Abraham. It was planted during the times of the prophets in the Old Testament. Then when Christ came in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the Jews from 17 nations came up together to worship God on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and they began to speak, the apostles did, began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. The apostle Peter stood up and preached that by wicked hand you have crucified the Christ. Now he has taken his seat on the right hand of God. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said to every one of them, you repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin. We see here the full-grown heirs. The kingdom of God is full-grown today. There's no more planning of the kingdom will come, but the kingdom is now is here. And you and I can become a part of that kingdom of God. We can become a part by accepting Christ as the Lord and Savior of our life. We can become a part of that kingdom by confessing our faith and repentance of our sins. And we can become a part of that New Testament kingdom that was full grown, came into being a little at a time, not like a frog that jumps into a pond, but a step-by-step process of action. God, in all of His wisdom, He didn't bring the kingdom into existence in one day or one hour, but step by step, a little at a time, the kingdom came, and today it is full grown. We have Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, having taken His seat on the right hand of God. And one day Jesus will come again, and every eye shall see Him as He is. If you're here this morning, and you're not a Christian, or whatever your condition may be. It may be that you're here, you've become a Christian, or you have never become a Christian, in your heart that you know that things are not right in your life. You know that things are not right in your life. It may be that you feel that you've sinned against God, and you need to confess whatever your problem might be against God. And you need to make that decision today, while life and opportunity is yours to enjoy, while together we stand and sing the number that was selected.